Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They kill old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiler movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod. I'm here by myself doing a solo review. Today's review is of the movie Kate, which you can find on Netflix. Spoiler reviews are for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't care about spoilers because I spoil the movie. Like I said, the name of the movie is Kate. I'm gonna get into it. I'm gonna break down what I liked, what I didn't like, score from 0 to 5. That's how we do it over here. let's first start with what I liked about this movie. Well, no, first we need to start with a plot synopsis. Okay, so it's directed by Cedric Nicholas Troyan, written by Umair Aleem. Starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Woody Harrelson, Miku Patricia Martineau. And the plot is, meticulous and preternaturally skilled, Kate is the perfect specimen of a finely tuned assassin at the height of her game. But when she uncharacteristically blows an assignment targeting a member of the Yakuza in Tokyo, she quickly discovers she's been poisoned, a brutally slow execution that gives her less than 24 hours to exact revenge on her killers. And as her body swiftly deteriorates, Kate forms an unlikely bond with the teenage daughter of one of her past victims. That's a pretty accurate plot. Of course, this is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing it because I'm gonna spoil it, or you just don't care about spoilers. But Kate one, Kate dies, and Woody Harrelson is the bad guy. So even though they present that trope at the beginning of Woody Harrelson being her mentor and shit, his name is Varick, but the second that she starts wanting out of the game and shit, he's like, I got to kill her and start grooming my next one in line, because you know how it is, the assassin games is just like Sith in Star Wars. There can only be two, a mentor and a motherfucking person that do all the killing. All right, so let's get into what we liked, then we'll talk about what we didn't like and all that stuff. What I loved was the motherfucking action, nigga. They was kung fu fighting, and honestly, Mary Elizabeth Winstead and the stunt people that were working with her, they had her looking sweet. And that's one of the major things about this genre of assassin's last job. You know, this is a whole trope. It's, I've killed 37 people but just had a motherfucking crisis of conscience on 38, and now I got to get out the game and all this shit, and including the, like, the final hit where, like, she kills a man in front of his daughter or some shit, and, like, the daughter turns out to be a kid that she has to, like, look out for later and try to help. And of course the daughter finds out that Kate is the one who killed her father, so, you know, it changes everything about the relationship, blah blah blah, you get it. You've seen this movie a trillion times before if you've watched any assassin movie about a motherfucker. Just, I mean, it's literally just like The Protege, or, well, I don't even know the name of all of them. Just, you've seen them all. Like, so that being said, the action was sweet, and it was good kung fu action, gun action, knives and swords and stunts, and there's action like every, like, I want to say about at least once every 15 to 20 minutes there's a big ass fight scene. And it only runs 1 hour and 46 minutes, and I won't lie, it would have been possible to make it a little shorter, but not much. Like, it was very John Wickian in this, and I know John Wick's the new standard everybody compares everything to, but it had the weak vibes of like one person against the world. They're a super assassin. They're getting fucked up the whole way, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead gets her hands dirty and all that stuff. And she plays it kind of like Keanu Reeves plays John Wick, where it's a lot of like stares and short one-liners and stuff like that. Yeah, that is, and I cannot emphasize enough how much that makes this movie good, okay? Because I know there's like gonna be some stuff that's like later where I'm like, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, but if you hit a home run on whooping people's ass, this kind of movie can ride off of that fuel for a long fucking time, and they did. Another thing I liked, I like Woody Harrelson in this. I love the visuals. And Woody Harrelson, the only problem with his character is so simply written, you know he's the bad guy from frame one. But the visuals, they took a chance, because I can understand that being a negative for some people that's gonna watch this. They're gonna come away like, yo, this shit look corny. And I totally understand. I'm not even trying to argue with you. That's cool if you felt that way. But for me, it felt cool and different. It was like the neon glass everywhere, almost felt like an arcade beat 'em up. Felt a little bit like Atomic Blonde to a certain extent, but the neon glass, the neon signs and all this stuff, and when she's driving her car and they do this action scene, it's so ridiculous and over the top, but the car is just like driving down the street like it looks almost like a video game. It's so CGI, but for the point they were making, which is in this world, it's just kind of ridiculous and anything can happen. It made sense. And the writer is Umar Aleem, and he wrote Extraction, so this seems to be up his alley, these high velocity super action movies. It seems like that's what he does, you know. I thought it looked great and over the top and delivered on that, even with the musical cues and all that stuff. The idea of her being in this foreign land as this white woman taking down all these bad guys and then getting poisoned by a man who she like hooked up with for a one night stand type of thing was interesting. And then from that point on, when she finds out she's poisoned, her trying to get revenge and find out who killed her, who poisoned her with this radioactive poison, that was cool. All the special effects they had, because it's almost an impossible white man movie except that she does die in the end. But all the special effects they had on when she got sick and how it would change her fighting style and how it would change how she perceived the world and the danger to her, that was cool. And of course, one of my favorite impossible white man tropes, which is needle full of something. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, it's always adrenaline or some shit. And it's always like, I just got shot in my arm. I'm poisoned. I'm bleeding out. Someone sticks you with a needle. You take a deep breath. You jump up from the table and you can fight for 15 more minutes before, oh no, I'm bleeding out. I'm about to die. I don't know. The poison's getting in my veins. I'm hallucinating. I don't know what's going to happen. Another stab. Deep breath. I'm back. Let's do this. I could do this all day, you know. So they definitely had that huge trope in this movie, and they use it to its fullest extent. And they were successful in making me think like, oh no, I guess she's out of chances. And then guess what, y'all, somebody had another needle and she fucking finishes the mission. I liked the idea of Woody Harrelson as a bad guy who takes these wayward orphan type kids under his stead and then teaches them to be assassins, and then eventually gets rid of them or whatever, you know. But he's like the evil man in this movie. He's what we used to call in the blaxploitation era the man in this movie. And then, of course, we got a lot of, I did appreciate that we had a lot of Asian actors and actresses in this, a lot of good, like there's a whole underworld syndicate, you know, yakuza type of thing happening in this movie. And honestly, that would have been an interesting thing to explore a little bit more, but we don't really get into that because it's mostly focused on Mary Elizabeth Winstead as a character. So I think that was, like I said, that it looks great, a good time as far as how long run time, good action, good fighting, great visuals. So let's talk about what we didn't like. Okay, now I gotta say, I don't know how you watch these movies and you don't come away thinking like this, but it is the trope of the one super white person that can out kung fu and karate every Asian person that has grown up in this culture. And you know, we've been seeing this shit since like American Ninja, you know what I mean? Like, this is a huge trope that I think everyone has witnessed if you're paying any kind of attention. And you know, I'd argue, you know, that to a lot of people it's basically offensive. You know, I don't want to say I was offended by it, because I would be lying to say that I was offended by it, you know, that, you know, if I gotta be honest. But it is something, you know. like I remember when I watched Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, and it was kind of the same thing. It's this white woman assassin that gets power, or not even assassin, but she gets powers and suddenly she can just beat up every Asian person in the movie. It's always difficult to really know what to say about these, because on the one hand, some of these movies would not get made if they did not star a white woman starlet. Like, if it wasn't Mary Elizabeth Winstead or someone close to her type of star power, the movie probably just sits somewhere and the script never gets made, because, you know, or it has to be like, or it's only in Japan or something like that, and it limits the audience, and foreign, and people in America will go, I'm not reading them subtitles or whatever the fuck, and they just want to watch the movie. Now this is Netflix, so they didn't go to the physical theater, but so I do understand the argument that getting a star attached to it is the thing. And at the end of the day, she does die, and the kind of, it kind of passes down to Annie, Miku, Patricia Martino, in case they do, a sequel or something, but I don't know if they will. So I guess, you know, maybe you can balance that out, but I just want to, you know, throw that out there for people that care about that kind of stuff, because it is the kind of thing that might throw you out of the movie, man. And that's, and I get why people are sick of seeing that shit, you know, that Last Samurai type shit. I thought she did a good job for the limitations of what this plot could do, and I thought the movie did a good job for the limitations of what the idea is, you know. Yeah, that was the main gripe. Little predictable, but isn't every Impossible White Man type movie, you know, these type of movies where it's like, she's an assassin, it's her last day, oh no, some shit went wrong, she gotta kill a whole lot more people, you know. It's always like, I'm getting out of the game, all this murder is too much. Hey, we're gonna try to kill you, you know what, 50 more murders, that's 50 more murders and then I'm out, you know. Also, another plot line that I think has been bothering me lately, and maybe it's just me personally, and I understand if you don't share it as an audience member, but the weird thing of like, I killed your dad, now taking you under my wing and protecting you as his daughter is weird, right? I thought it was weird in the last movie I watched on Netflix, and I can't remember the name of it. Oh my goodness. But, I thought it was weird in Gunpowder Milkshake, that was it. I thought it was weird in that, you know, and I'm not sure why directors are so keen on this. Is, I guess, the idea of motherhood or something, or they're trying to like make some statements about, you know, like it's the one motive, protecting a child. No one would question that motive. But honestly though, it felt like a stretch, and it felt like the movie didn't need it. But like, her just trying to balance her ledger by killing the people and getting revenge would have been fine with me. Adding a kid in there to give like some moral clarity and high ground to her, I don't think you really need it. You're an assassin, you kill people, somebody fuck with you, and now you're gonna kill them. Okay, you know, 15 minutes of just you and this girl fighting, and then the girl realizing like you're really trying to protect her, and then the girl realizing, oh, actually you killed her dad and you're the reason she's in this whatever. I guess it's that thing where it's like, because you're the better option of all the worst people that's trying to kill her, you become the good guy. But it's like, just fucking leave the kids out of it. I don't get it. But yeah, so that was the major things for that. I want to say that's about it for negatives for me. I'm sure there are people that have you know, more negatives than I did. But let's talk about the review, the 0 to 5. I give it a four out of five, man. I actually really fucking like this movie. The action was good, the stunt work and all that shit, they can hit you a little over the head with the she about to die. I'm like, she been about to die for an hour and a half, but you know, and then ultimately her dying at the end and them not coming up with some miracle save, like, oh, we found another needle and this one cures radiation, with them just being like, yeah, she dead. And she died to balance the ledger, and this Asian girl gets to live on even though she killed her daddy. You know, I was okay with that. So I give it a 4 out of 5. You know, it's not, I think it could have been it might have been a better, sweeter looking movie if you had an actual like action star as your lead, an Asian action star, but in the absence of that, I still give it a 4 out of 5. All right, y'all, talk to you soon. Peace.